As part of our Uncomfortable Truth series on race in America, we've been hearing from many of you with your personal stories. Some of those conversations have been about adoption, usually where children of color are adopted by white families. But Lakshmi Iyer and Brandi Stein had a different story to tell.
My name is Brandi Stein. I am 29 years old. I am white.
My name is Lakshmi Iyer. I'm 41 years old. I grew up in a place called Coimbatore in southern India. I grew up in a very monolithic kind of place, in the sense like everybody looked like each other. We have diversity, but not the kind I've seen here in America.
Growing up in El Paso, Texas, I grew up in predominantly Hispanic neighborhoods, so race wasn't a thing I considered really.
7 years ago, Lakshmi, who had struggled to have children of her own, adopted Brandy's 10-month-old twin girls, who are white. Brandi lives in New Mexico. Lakshmi and her husband live across the country in Pennsylvania, along with the twins, Anjali and Mena, who are 8, and Sahana, their biological daughter, who's 3. The families have an open adoption, and they talk regularly, but they haven't really talked about race very much in this unique relationship until now.
Race wasn't a thing I understood until I started learning about the Civil War in school and realized that race was an issue for some people. And it's only impacted my life in the way that I started to actually hate being white because everybody judged me for being white. But I never really thought that I was any more different than anybody else around me because we were all poor and we were all living in the same neighborhood.
It's interesting to me that somebody being white can actually consider that a burden. It never occurred to me that way.
Well, actually, I have been wondering, like, I know you just said that there wasn't that much diversity, but when there was diversity, especially in race in India, how did people react to that?
Actually, it's a very interesting thing. It's an interesting thing that you bring up. Where I grew up, almost everybody is brown, varying shades of brown or black. But there is something called casteism. So there is a social hierarchy in the sense that if you were born of a particular caste, you got treated one way. And if you were not part of a particular caste, then you were treated differently. And growing up, I've heard about it. I've probably seen it in my family, but I chose to ignore it. It really became a big thing when I was a teenager. And as part of the caste system, I am a Brahmin. And supposedly at the top of the social pecking order. So it did have an impact. Like, it's not particularly race, but that division in society where, you know, a circumstance and birth puts a person in a particular place and the impact it has on generations is something that has been on my mind for a long time. And while I've not really thought about it much before, our current political situation and the fact that I'm a mother in a transracial adoption really brings it out for me now. And it's a hard button thing for me right now. But having said that, race is something that I really never thought much about until we adopted the children. Then it was in my face all the time.
Now that I can understand, especially with the current political situation. And I think you've been doing a great job with handling how the girls are looking at race right now, especially with other people thinking you're the nanny, which to me is interesting because you were raised at a higher class system while I was raised poor. And if we were raised in the same neighborhood, we would be part of two different caste systems. So me giving Anjali and Meghna to you, I've given them a better life either way you look at it. But how does it make you feel when people call you the nanny?
Actually, first, I get defensive. I feel like I have to justify that I'm their mother and they had no business saying that to me. But then I realize some people have no filters. And if this experience hadn't happened to me, if I were an outsider looking in and I saw a brown couple with white children, maybe I wouldn't go ask them something, but it would certainly cross my mind that there's something unusual about it. Mostly, I just ignore and move on. I don't qualify. I don't justify. I don't give them an answer. But sometimes if I feel it was, you know, the intentions aren't wrong, it's just that they don't know how to phrase the question, then I try to educate. But for most parts, I'm just quiet. I just, you know, nod and move on.
Lakshmi and her husband were desperate to have a family, and Brandi was at a crossroads in her own life when she decided to put her 10-month-old twins up for adoption. Brandy was a single mom struggling to raise her girls with the help of her brothers and parents. She'd grown up poor and had one priority when it came to adoption, giving her girls to parents who would dote on them as their own, regardless of skin color.
When it actually came to giving up the girls for adoption, I did go through a lot of interviews when it came to giving them up. And yeah, they were white parents, but they'd be more interested in focusing on me and impressing me versus actually looking at the girls for more than a few seconds at a time. When it came to choosing Lakshmi, it was actually the adoption agency who chose Lakshmi Narayan as a couple, and I met them through Skype. And I never really thought about their race, because the moment they saw the girls, they were focused and intent and loving the girls from the moment they saw them.
Actually, when you say that, I can almost picture that moment on Skype when I saw the little girls, you know. Both of them had like milk bottles in their hands and they were crawling around. One was in a pink jacket and the other was in a purple jacket. It's just imprinted in my memory.
So I didn't see how it could be a problem, since Lakshmi Narayan, for the one criteria I had, was to love my daughters as much as I do. You know, it was a really hard decision, but I couldn't give them to anybody else who could not see what treasures they were and would love them and raise them similar to how I really wanted them to be raised but couldn't do myself.
Race was the last thing that came up, and we saw the children, we fell in love like immediately. So eventually when our daughters came home, to me it felt very natural, but I don't know how it appeared to the rest of the world. I'm sure there was a novelty, there was fascination about the fact that the girls had, you know, blonde hair and they looked like dolls.
One neighbor tried to tell me that Lakshmi and Orion were going to do arranged marriages for the girls, even though Lakshmi and I had a discussion about that, and she would like our girls to marry for love, which I do agree with, but I'm also not against the arranged marriage because I have really bad experience with normal social dating in America. But that is my own opinion, and apparently mine is completely different from my own family's, despite the fact that we were raised together. They have more conservative views when it comes to raising the girls and stuff. They say that they're okay with certain things, but then there's other things they're not okay with. Like, they're not okay with Lakshmi being vegetarian, and that's not their choice.
To kind of follow up on that, how is openness working out? Like, I know I'm in touch with you, I'm in touch with Gigi and Grandpa, but there's no direct contact between me and Corey and Alan. But how do they react to the fact that you're in touch and it's kind of in your face all the time, and you probably talk about it to them, right?
Oh, I talk to them about it all the time. Actually, my grandparents were more accepting of it than my own father or my brothers were. And I even share them the pictures that you send me. I think this openness is actually making it easier because I can show them every day. This is what's going on. This is what they're doing. This is how they're being raised. And yeah, Corey or Alan will make some kind of comment. Well, Alan will make a comment about the religion, and Corey will make a comment about how the girls don't eat meat. And Alan's comments about the Hindu religion are really ignorant and short-sighted, because Christianity, like, yes, it is a good religion, but it's not better than any other religion. So I'm always constantly fighting with him on that.
Is there anything I can do to help? Like, you know, if you can forward the questions, maybe I can try and, you know, explain my reasons for why we are raising the kids this way.
Actually, I have been telling Corey, especially when it comes to the eating meat, that you are against taking a life and cooking meat for the girls to eat, even if it's just for the girls, really offends you as a person, and you don't feel right doing it, which is why I'm not going to try and force his views on you.
Mm-hmm.
He feels that you should be cooking the meat every day, and I tell him that's not logical, nor is that right, because that's forcing you to do something that is against your religion.
This is the first time I'm hearing in so much depth about it. But like, I mean, the core thing is that end of day, Anjali and Meghna are our children between me and Brandy. I definitely will feel a lot differently about it if Brandy felt this way. Knowing that it's Alan and Corey, yes, they have, they're open to suggest things, but it carries lesser weight to me. I don't think my decision on how to raise the children will change significantly. I'm still open to them trying what they want to. And I've told them many times that once they turn 18, they're adults, they can, choose how to live their lives. I'm not going to, dictate what they can eat or what religion they're going to follow. It's completely up to them. But while they live with me and are part of our family, we will do it mine and Narayanan's way. And the rules are the same for all three of my children, not just Anjali and Meghna.
What I've always told Lakshmi and what I'm going to tell you now is that, Lakshmi, I'm grateful that you are Anjali's and Meghna's mom. You are doing a great job. And what I want them to know is that race should never matter. It's all about who you are as a person and how you treat others as people. And if anybody is going to get onto you about the race of your parents or your own race and they're not going to understand, then you don't need them in your life. Because your Emma loves you and she will always love you, no matter what. And I'm glad that I chose you and Narayan because you do love them as much as I do. And I hope that you can continue at least sending me pictures of how great you're doing with them.
Actually, I am completely on board with what you said, Brandy. And I am incredibly grateful to have you in my life. Not just for the children. It's just that I do think people's lives cross each other for a reason. And I'm learning so much from you. And the fact that you can be this accepting of how we are raising the children, and I want you to have a say in, how we raise the children and be a part of their lives forever. And in that sense, I am so happy that we have the relationship that we have. As far as Anjali and Meghna go, I would just like to tell them one thing. You cut open the skin, the blood's the same. We are all the same inside. It doesn't matter.
Mm-hmm.
End of day, that's all that counts. We're all people. And if we can grow up to be good human beings, that's all that matters.
The story of Lakshmi and Brandy and their families, we've heard from so many of you across the country. Have a conversation about race you want to share with us? You can take part in our Uncomfortable Truth series. Call us at 877-8-MY-TAKE or check out thetakeaway.org/truths.